This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Chris Rose is going to join us here. That was Andrew Siciliano talking about the offensive line. And I, you know, we're all looking at it, and I know what he said about the Raiders, but in the back of my mind, that's stupid any given Sunday, and they're at home. They're using scotch tape and rubber bands to put together an offensive line this week when you consider how many guys are hurt. And it's just a concern. I wonder how they're going to adjust. I wonder how they're going to be able to. And maybe this is the best week possible to play a team like the Raiders, but I don't know. I just don't take anything for granted in this league.
Not at all?
No, I don't. I watched Dallas the first week of the season, and I was like, what? And then the next week they go into New Orleans, and my head is spinning. Then I watch, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe New Orleans is awesome. You know, they put like 80-some points on the board the first 2 weeks, and then last week they play Philly, and all of a sudden they came back to reality. But they have 6 points in that game. So I don't know what to expect, and I expect the unexpected in the NFL, and maybe that's exactly the way they want us to view the sport, because it sucks you in and doesn't let you go. And, you know, you could sit here all week and think your team is horrible and they stink and your quarterback is brutal and your head coach has no idea what he's doing. And then they put together a good game, and it doesn't matter if they're first team or the last team in the NFL, according to rankings. A win is a win in this league, and you cherish it. And all of a sudden you look, and how do you think Steeler fans feel? They got to be sitting there going, are we for real? Are we for real? But they're playing mistake-free football, and that's why they're able to accomplish what they're able to do with a strong defense. I don't know. I'm going to feel uneasy at all points of the season, and even if you tell me the Browns are going to win by 150 this week, I'm still going to be uneasy about it.
What's NFL stand for?
Not for long.
That's exactly what everybody says.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that really is true about perception of your team and what people think of your team. And that could be good or bad. You know, you get hot all of a sudden, oh, but you're the greatest thing ever. For instance, the Minnesota Vikings. Eric Edholm, who has been on our show before, and Eric's a really good writer for NFL.com, has his power rankings out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And after week three. And first of all, he completely confirms what we talked about yesterday. Who are the best two teams? Who do you think are the two best teams in the league?
Kansas City and Buffalo, without a doubt, right
he
now.
He has them 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And Buffalo's up two spots to number 2.
Hmm.
Then he has the Vikings at number 3. And, okay, Vikings jump. Are you ready?
That makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it?
Well, just because you won, you started 3-0, they've jumped 12 spots all the way up to number 3. And, see, that's what we talked about yesterday. After those top two teams, Kansas City, Buffalo, who is it? Well, okay. And we even said, let's see more out of Minnesota. There's nobody else who's really knocking down the door who's making you think that's the case. Detroit moved up one spot to number 4. So, I mean, after Buffalo and Kansas City, man, it gets, I think.
It's murky, right?
It's wide open.
And I can understand why you put Minnesota in there, because they're undefeated.
If you're looking at our division, Ravens are 8th. Right now in Ed Holmes' power rankings. And then the Steelers are 9th. They jump up 5 spots. Why? Their defense is really pretty good. So 8 and 9 for those two teams. And you keep scrolling down. The Niners dropped from 2 to 12.
Wow.
This is just, this is completely, boy, not for long. You play a bad game, boom, you're getting busted. Chargers dropped 7 spots down to number 14. You notice we haven't talked about anybody in particular yet. Commanders had one nice game against the Bengals, right?
Yeah.
They jumped 12 spots from 28 to 16.
They showed up in primetime. That's why.
To me, this is a little, and I think Eric's a really good writer, this is a little reactionary.
Yeah, but maybe
I think it's all reactionary.
If Jaden Daniels is finally kind of getting his feet in the ground and you want to give him 2 games to get ready for it.
Okay, then, you jump from 28 to 16. One game jumps you from being one of the worst teams in the league to middle of the pack. Okay.
Well, who's behind them?
Well, a lot of teams. Your Dallas Cowboys. Hmm. They dropped 6, so that's not good. We're down to 19. Rams. Notice who I haven't mentioned yet.
No, I know who you haven't mentioned.
Bengals. Drop 5 games. There are 5 spots down to 21.
Notice
who I haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, I know, but the Bengals' defense is what their record is. Bears their offense dropped 3. Is not.
Dolphins don't have Tua. Dolphins drop 8 to 25.
The Dolphins don't have a quarterback.
Notice who I haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, I know.
At 26 in Eric Edholm's power rankings, our Cleveland Browns dropping 8 spots. Hmm. And he starts at barely. A crisis has now turned into an epidemic. And he's talking offensive line. He's right about that. And then he talks about Deshaun, and he said, a strange, troubling start to the season in Cleveland. You want to make it worse for a strange, troubling start?
Sure.
Team the Browns play this week, the Raiders ranked 28th. Does that make this a must win?
No, I just...
Giants are 29th. Giants beat the Browns and move up 2 spots, but they're still 29th.
That makes it worse.
Jaguars drop 7 to 30. So 3 of the top 4 opponents for the Browns to start the season are ranked right now 28th, 29th, and 30th. Man, you better win this game.
Wow, the Jags have lost 8 straight with Trevor Lawrence.
Boy, and Trevor's getting berated on all fronts, and maybe deservedly so. Did you see the story that came out about him yesterday? Florio on Pro Football Talk went back and some old comments from Trevor were dragged up, and he made sure that everybody had a clear thought on those. But it was that Trevor Lawrence basically said, my life is not all about football, and I can have a wonderful life without football. And people took that the wrong way.
How long ago did he say it?
It was when he came out in the draft, and he was the number 1 overall pick. But he then clarified and said, hey, look, I love this stuff. I work hard. I love it as much as anybody else. But, you know, it's not all that defines me. Good for him. I think that's fair. I do, but I also think he better start playing better.
Well, I also think that it was fair in the power rankings on NFL.com when they said Deshaun Watson and the Browns had 0 answers for the Giants' pressure packages. They didn't. And he was sacked 8 times on 45 dropbacks. Watson has held on to the ball too long. Fair criticism. No argument there. But not every sack is on him. I like the fact that that was a part of the piece. The Browns simply don't have the offensive identity with all of these issues. And Sunday provided proof that their strong defense can't bail them out of trouble every single week. A strange, troubling start to the season in Cleveland. I'm very fair. And do you think they do you think they should be higher than 26? They dropped 8 spots.
Well, I do, probably. I do. And the reason I say that is because I just think that these rankings are a little reactionary. I mean, 1 win, 1 loss shouldn't drop you or elevate you as much as he has elevated guys. But it's at this very moment is what he's basing this on. And so, you know, you could make the argument at this very moment. Like, for instance, the Broncos got a win and a good win over mm-hmm. Tampa. They jumped up 8 spots. You know, I mean, that's a lot. The one thing I think we all need to keep in mind here, do you remember for many years the New England Patriots had serious, serious offensive line issues?
Yeah.
And they were getting guys injured. They weren't, you know, they're just trying to put pieces in there. They're bringing guys in and blah, 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 and they kept winning. They had offensive line issues, and they made it work. At some point here, you're not going to be able to just keep saying about the Browns, and not that anybody's completely using it as an excuse. At some point, you're going to have to just deal with it and figure it out. Otherwise, just go ahead and pitch the whole season. I mean, okay, your offensive line's beat up. Well, then figure it out. Your quarterback has to get the ball out more. Maybe you have to run. Maybe you have to run wide. Maybe you run pass option.
Maybe run more screens.
Figure something out. I mean, you can't just sit there and go, well, our line's beat up. Let's drop him back in the pocket and have him stand there for 7 seconds. And Deshaun, you go ahead and hang on to it for another two more. You can't do that. At some point, it has to be figured out. Okay, this is the reality. How do we deal with the reality? Patriots did it for years. But, of course, the Patriots had somebody at quarterback who got the ball out in about 3 seconds.
Kevin Stefanski's at noon today. I'll be interested to see if they brought in any offensive linemen yesterday to work out and if there's anybody that possibly could end up either on the practice squad or maybe I don't think that there's guys out there right now to put on the active roster immediately. But part of that's going to have to depend on Wyatt Teller and how long they're going to keep him out. I mean, if he looks like he's out for 4 weeks, then you put him on the injured reserve. I also would like to hear an update on Nick Chubb and to see if there's a chance he's back next week.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, no what? I don't want the information.
I don't know, Andy. I know.
We have not heard one word about Nick Chubb. We're not going to hear anything today.
Is that telling?
No, that's not telling. That's the Browns not wanting to say anything. They're just not saying anything. Look, it felt like he was close when the season started, or at least he was moving in the right direction from the folks that were out in Berea watching practice every day. It'd be nice to see if there's a shot that he's close.
I'm so cautious here.
Yeah, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but on this one I will. I think you are just waiting. You are going to wait until you hear the Browns say he's active before you'll actually believe it.
Yeah, I want to see him on the field before I believe it. And his knee was destroyed. For a second time. I'm not hurrying that guy at all. Neither are they. And I'm so erring on the side of caution, it's going to be ridiculous.
If he can come back and be at 80 to 90%.
Yeah, they're running the ball 12 times anyway.
Maybe they'll
backs.
Run the ball more with him.
Yeah, which is what you don't carries. Need to do right now.
What, run Nick Chubb?
Yeah.
Why would you not need to do that?
Is just coming back from a devastating knee injury.
Well, you're not going to put him out there if you can't let him make plays.
Exactly my point. Just be patient.
216-474-0092. Chris Rose joins us next. NFL Network, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We bring him in. He is a super friend of the show. You know him and love him. He is Chris Rose, and he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hello, boys.
Chris.
How are you?
Good. I'm still laughing from the line you had on your show Sunday night about, was it the ball or the player that was hiding underneath the graphic? I was watching your show and I literally fell off the couch laughing because it was such a good line. Bravo, my friend. Bravo.
Thank you. I'm allowed one a month. I'll see you in October.
All right, we'll catch you next month. Let's start with the Browns, man. That offensive line is a mess, and you know you're going to Vegas this week, so maybe they can put some things together against a team that's struggling as well. Your thoughts on the Browns?
Tough to watch. Tough watch. Where do we start? The offensive line's a mess. We don't know who's going to be out there, particularly at the tackle position. We know Zach Zinter is going to be there for the next month. It's rough. I mean, it's an awful look. And I don't have any answers. I don't.
Are you preparing yourself for a very long season? How's that sound?
I mean, I'm not willing to throw it out yet. I'm just not. I mean, there's been plenty of teams that have started 1-2 and have gotten it going. I mean, for God's sakes, the Steelers have won 3 games and scored 3 touchdowns. Like, it doesn't take that much. And by the way, points are way down in the NFL. Andy Dalton last week became the first quarterback to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns in a game. So, you know, defenses are keeping things in front of them, making you make the conservative choice, things of that nature. With all that being said, our quarterback's not playing well, and our offensive line is playing poorly, too. And we gave the ball to Deontay Foreman twice last week. I didn't get that.
I didn't get that either, especially after the 14 carries the week before, Chris. And even though the Giants had the lead, it wasn't like it was an insurmountable lead where you had to ditch the running game. You had 12 carries to your running backs. Well, is that was that game that in their minds it got away from them? Was that this is what Ken Dorsey wants to do more in his offense? Or was it, because I'm still trying to figure it out.
We're all trying to figure it out.
Okay.
And it's tough. I don't know what the thought process was when you're going against a team that was susceptible against the run coming in. I mean, we had a 7-point lead after 10 seconds. And so, you know, it didn't get away from us until, you know, the neighbor's touchdown right before the half made it a 2-score game. And then you just feel pressed. I mean, there was a great article in The Athletic about how our receivers aren't separating. They're among the league's worst in terms of separation and speed and things of that nature. So I just think we have to take that all into account and try to figure out. I mean, it puts a ton of pressure on the defense because, like, I think you feel like if we give up more than 21 points, we're not going to win. And that is a tough way to go. It doesn't mean it can't change. It's just, that's rough.
A thought for you. And I know it didn't work for him real well in New York, and it didn't work real well in Kansas City. Does there come a point here where they give Kadarius Toney a real look who's on the practice squad?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. .com.
I mean, it's possible. It is possible now that David Bell is out the year. You're going to need another guy to step up. You know, listen, I championed Cedric Tillman from the minute we drafted him. I liked him a lot. I thought he was really could have been a really productive receiver. And once again, this is the start of his second year, so I'm not willing to say that this is the next Anthony Schwartz with a different skill set.
Yeah.
But he's got to make plays. He's got to make plays. It just stinks because everything compounds itself, right? Once you feel the pressure, oh, my God, I've got to make every play. And then, you know, guys will tell you they don't play relaxed and free and easy when they're feeling that. That's too bad. Man, oh, man. God, 1-2, it does feel like the sky's falling.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
At all.
Chris, I'm listening to what you're saying, too, and I'm still trying to figure out how you can make a fair assessment of Deshaun Watson when he's en route to having be sacked 90 times this season. How do you make a fair assessment of what we're watching here?
Well, I do it by listening to guys I trust, guys who have played the games. I had a guy send me, he breaks down quarterback video, and this isn't just some guy on the internet who thinks he knows. This is a guy who has seen it happen at a very high level, meaning the NFL, was one of the best to ever do it. And he goes, what's going on with your quarterback? And he would send me these video clips with him narrating. He goes, once again, I'm not in the room, but, and I said, please stop sending me these. It was bad enough when I watched it live the first time. I appreciate what you're trying to do by educating me. Please stop. I would like to put a hold on my quarterback 101 education.
So what's the biggest thing you got out of watching the ones that you did? Are things correctable?
I don't know, because the correction comes with a guy who needs to do a better job of reading what's going on in the field. And I know that Kevin came out yesterday and said, I mean, what else is he supposed to say about his quarterback? Yeah, guys, I don't trust him. He's not seeing the field very well. That's not going to go over great. I mean, the one thing that I admire about Kevin Stefanski is that he hasn't blown up one guy in his now 4+ years as head coach.
Isn't that true?
Publicly.
Yeah.
He never does it. And that is because that's the first way to lose a locker room or a clubhouse in any sport is to do that. And he doesn't do it. But I imagine behind closed doors, he can't be thrilled with what he is seeing on tape from a lot of different areas, including his quarterback. I mean, Jordan Akins is standing wide open on a fourth down play. Wide open in the NFL. It's a play that not only would have extended a drive. Listen, Greg Joseph did us a favor. I don't know if he was a double agent that day and missed a field goal to keep us in the game. But, I mean, he's got to start making some plays. I don't know what else to say, guys.
The one thing about it is only three games, Chris, and Andy and I talked about that yesterday. I mean, and you're right. It feels like the sky's falling, but it is only three games. The one thing that I find interesting, you have Ken Dorsey, a little different approach to the offense. We're trying to figure out exactly what that is, but I don't know if you can figure out exactly what it is with the line issues that you're having. And it's so convoluted, it's really tough to pinpoint what you need to fix. I would think, first and foremost, if you can get Deshaun to get rid of the ball a little bit more quickly, I mean, you're going to have to do that for him to survive, are you not?
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's brutal right now. But that's a league-wide epidemic. You know, I watch every game, right? And I just see what's going on with these offensive lines. I mean, it's like, listen, parents, if you have a kid that's big right now, I don't know what you got to do. Keep having them get bigger and quick feet because they will get paid an immense amount of money. Just aren't enough humans walking the earth to protect quarterbacks at this point. There just aren't. And the defenses are so fast. So fast. Like, you're about to watch Max Crosby this weekend, and you think that he's not pissed off after, you know, giving up 36 points to the Carolina Panthers? The Carolina Panthers? Like, he is going to come out, and whomever is lined up across from him, it's going to be like one of those movies where there's a stud player in high school, and he's just really ticked off because somebody on the offense tried to date his girl, and he's going to, like, be ready to rip somebody's head off. Look out.
All right, Chris, let's switch gears to something a little bit more positive. Let's talk about the Guardians and Rose rotation. So Austin Hedges is on, right? And kind of give us a little sneak peek into what we could hear if we want to listen to the podcast.
So we covered a ton of things. Celebrations, why they did champagne showers twice in less than a week, why he felt like that was important. Amazing stuff on the difference that Stephen Vogt has made on this team. Like, really great inside stuff. And then we talked a lot about Emmanuel Clase. And I believe we have the clip where it started to get around social media today. I want everybody to give a listen to this.
Emmanuel Clase, and we've talked about him before on this show. Is he the best pitcher you have ever caught?
I think he's, through this amount of time, he's the best pitcher ever. He's the best pitcher ever.
Hold on. In the history of the sport?
Yes. Through 200-ish innings, he's the best pitcher ever. I would love to compare the numbers. He's better than Mariano. If you need three outs, that guy, that's the best pitcher of all time to get three outs. He's got a long way to go to be the best of all time, right? Because longevity matters. But at 26 years old, with these numbers and that many innings, I mean, we're talking about he needs a few more saves. Got to beat Helsley. If he does, that's 3 years in a row leading all of MLB in saves, which has never been done before. I mean, this guy added a new pitch essentially this year to shape his cutter even more to the bottom of the zone at 101. So yes, I would hold firmly to that he is the best pitcher of all time through this amount of time.
Wow.
That's pretty strong words there on your podcast. Make sure you're listening. Rose Rotation. Did you have to pick yourself up off the floor after you heard that, or what'd you think?
Well, I imagine you saw my face on the clip, and I was shocked. And that's why I doubled back and said, in the history of the game. And, you know, I know that Austin's obviously going to bat for the dude that he works with, but he really, like, I think he believes so much in what he has to catch for a living. And then there's a second part that I wish we had actually put in the clip, where I said, do you have guys that walk into the batter's box and basically tell you, I've got no shot against this guy? His answer is amazing. So go, even if you just want to fast forward, we always put timestamps in there. So you can go to our YouTube channel, you know, on Jam Baseball, go click the link and go click the timestamp if you just want to listen to the Class A. But I highly suggest you listen to a lot of it because it's so Cleveland centric. But I got a lot of, you know, morons on social media who either don't want to listen, can't listen, or can't read. It said through 200 innings, he's the best pitcher. And everybody's like, he's 500 saves short of Mariano. How could you say that? Hey, meathead, he said through the first 200 innings of his career, he said longevity matters. I mean, just follow what he's saying here. And you can disagree with him, by all means, but don't do the rest of it. Like, just please pay attention a little bit.
Any chance he gets the Cy Young? Scoobles got it, no. Or you think he's going to get it, or he's got a shot?
Scoobles going to get it. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if he's unanimous. People, unfortunately, are so biased, which I understand towards starting pitching, particularly in today's game, when a guy's going seven shutty to get his 18th win of the year and leads in the ERA and strikeouts and everything, it's great. The one thing I said about Class A on our daily podcast, Baseball Today, was you have to understand his importance in on a team that is going to finish with a bye and win its division pretty much going away. Like, everybody knows that the Guardians' best feature is their bullpen. It starts with having the most lockdown guy in the sport. So his importance to our team is second to none as far as any pitcher goes in baseball this year. Second to none. Even Chris Sale is going to run away with the Cy Young in the National League. I mean, you can't build your bullpen when you're like, I don't know, our closer's pretty good. He is dominant, but he'll finish runner-up, I think. He might even finish third behind Corbin Burns. People just, when they don't pay attention to you on a daily basis, you're not going to get the votes.
Chris, I think it's interesting. He was not necessarily his usual lockdown self last year. And you heard Austin say a few things about, you know, what he worked on and how he improved. I mean, to have an ERA under one is just stunning. And Austin pointed out something that I think we all need to remember. He's only 26 years old. He'll be 27 for next season, but he's only 26 years old. This is amazing.
Yeah, he talked a lot about his maturity and how that has helped take him to the next level. He also had a fantastic line in there, which I found fascinating, about elite athletes that you'll want to listen to. Hedges is really good. I know that he gets a lot of crap because he hits 170 or whatever, but he's really important to this team. I don't have to say it again. Like, his energy is very important. Go where we were last year without him. Go see where we were the year before with him. Go see where we are right now. It's not always about hitting 30 home runs and driving in 85. That's what a team is all about, and finding the right guys that fit in the right places. And, you know, I think he's going to follow in Stephen Vogt's footsteps. I really do. I think he's going to be a manager shortly after he's done playing.
Chris, last question for you, too. The Guardians are going to get a bye here. They're guaranteed no less than the second seed in the American League. Your thoughts on, you know, having the rest, because they're going to get at least a week off here. More than.
Yeah, you know, there's a danger, obviously, particularly in the National League the last couple of years. The Braves and Dodgers have found that out the hard way, that when you get rest, sometimes you get a little rusty, and it can happen. But I would say this, that with the frequency that we have thrown our high-leverage guys, and I'm talking about the top five guys in that bullpen, I think it's going to do them some good. I really do. And I don't know how our rotation's going to stack out. I think the biggest thing going forward, and maybe we'll have time to talk about this next week, is the return of Stephen Kwan. Not just in body, but in mind. Like, he has got to be the Stephen Kwan that we saw the first 3 months of the year in order for this team to get where it wants to get.
Outstanding. Chris, you know we love talking to you every week. Thank you. And, of course, we're checking out the Rose Rotation. Austin Hedges, you heard a little bit of it there. Go listen to the entire podcast. Thanks, Chris.
All right, boys. Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
As always.
Thank you. Chris Rose on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. There's a story that is super interesting in college football and has to do with UNLV's starting quarterback, Matthew Sluka. And, you know, the question about him is, he got into this deal. He came over from Holy Cross to be their starting quarterback. And Jeff, now he's saying that he will not play in any more games this season for UNLV, citing certain representations not being upheld by the program, which all makes us believe that NIL that was promised was not delivered.
That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Well, welcome to the new world of college football.
And UNLV is 3-0 for the first time since 1984.
All right, a little bit of information, guys. Sorry, I hate to cut you off. The following players not practicing today due to injury. Tackle Jack Conklin with the hamstring injury. Running back Jerome Ford with a knee injury. Defensive end Miles Garrett. You ready for this? Foot, Achilles, thigh. So in other words,
his whole leg.
Yeah, you could have just put a whole leg.
There's one real key word there.
Achilles?
That's the one.
Yeah. The only thing that's not on here is knee. So, yeah, Miles Garrett not practicing today. Foot, Achilles, thigh. Linebacker Jordan Hicks dealing with a rib injury and an elbow injury. Tight end David Njoku with an ankle injury. Running back Pierre Strong with the hamstring injury. Tackle Jedrick Wills with a knee injury. So, DeJuan Jones not on here.
All right, but the other two tackles are.
Okay.
All right, just going through it one more time. Conklin, Ford, Garrett.
Jordan Hicks.
Oh, Hicks. Couldn't even read my own handwriting.
You're good.
Njoku, Wills, and who was the other person?
Pierre Strong.
Oh, Pierre Strong. Ugh. All right, so your running back situation is brutal, and your offensive line is brutal.
It's Wednesday. If they practice Friday, they can play. Hate to be that blunt about it, but that's the NFL. We all know that. Guys sit out Wednesday practice a lot. If they're on the field on Friday, they usually play. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned.
Jerome Ford, concerns on that, Jeff.
Is it Friday?
I got it. But okay. You got two running backs that are...
Andy, they don't use them anyway.
You are Dr. Cheerful sometimes. Well, yes, I understand.
Come on. I mean, they gave the running backs 12 carries the other day in a game that you weren't out of and you weren't passing well.
What Foreman have last?
My major was in telecommunications, not football. I know if you're not passing the ball well and you do it poorly, maybe you should try running. Sorry.
Maybe you should have majored in football. The way you sound right now, you seem to have the answer on that, and I don't disagree with you. I think every Browns fan that watched that game last week didn't need to have a major in football.
Statistically, they're one of the worst passing teams in the NFL right now, and yet they've passed the third most times, at least before the Monday games.
Do you think that that's going into the game with a game plan that said, no matter what, I'm throwing the ball. No matter if our offensive line has to have five guys that have never... We're going to take defensive linemen and make them offensive linemen. No matter what it takes, we are going to pass the ball.
I don't know what it was.
Because I don't think that the deficit they were in was so, you know, egregious that they had to throw the ball. They were within two touchdowns the entire game, even when they went back. When you're behind, I don't understand... It seems to me like they're saying, this is the way we are going to do it, and we are not going to adjust. I don't understand why they didn't. And by the way, like Andrew said, or was it Chris, that when you look at their best offensive play in the second half, it's when your quarterback ran the ball. Your quarterback ran the ball. I don't get it.
I don't know what it was except for this. It didn't work.
Dan, is that analytics telling you this is... Because I think analytics would have told you to run the ball against that defense. And I don't care who their opponents were before. At least you got to try that. It's just... It's mind-boggling how simple it seems on the outside. And maybe we're all the idiots. Is the emperor not wearing clothes on this thing or what?
You're going to hate my answer. I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't. I don't know. I mean, it's...
Oh, Dan, you're right.
It seems...
I mean, why would you continually try to throw the football when your offensive line isn't there, your quarterback's not getting rid of the ball fast, and you're not good at it?
Because you're not going to deviate off the game plan you had walking in the stadium.
I don't believe that, Andy.
But then why did they pass the balls? So give me an answer.
Why don't you text Daryl? He's going to be out at the thing, and maybe he can ask.
And do you think they're going to give us the...
No, I don't.
Unless maybe they were calling run plays, and maybe there was audibles at the line. That's the only thing with it. We got to bring in every variable here. So I don't know. I don't have these answers. It seems very un-Stefanski to not run the ball. That's how Stefanski has built his offense.
Or find his tight ends, too.
It seems very un-Kevin Stefanski. So maybe this is a Ken Dorsey influence. Maybe this is something else. I don't know.
It's been brought up to me several times by people just around me. I'm not going to say they're experts. It's just people who observe the game.
We're throwing stuff at the wall and hoping for the best.
Well, I mean, how many times do we watch Deshaun Watson walk up to the line and adjust? I remember seeing it a couple times, maybe twice during the game. How often is Deshaun looking at guys and pointing at guys on the other side of the defense or moving wide receivers or moving someone? Like, you just don't see that. I don't know that he's just not that quarterback. But how many times have you seen great quarterbacks walk up to the line, immediately see something, fix it before they have a chance to even get, you know, into a formation to snap the ball? Those are other things that I think people are starting to notice now about the ability to adjust on offense and how that's got to change, especially when your offensive line is as beat up as it is. Let's come back. We'll hear from Kevin Stefanski. He'll be live from Berea. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.